Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Hello, this is Pastor Jonathan McLean. From the McLean's home and the entire congregation at Abundant Life Ministries, we pray that you have a wonderful, Jesus-filled Christmas season. At this time, join me as we go into a service that is in progress.
In Acts chapter 8, we started a couple weeks ago and looked at verses 1 through 4, and I want to start there again this morning. Saul was one of the official witnesses at the killing of Stephen. How many of you knew that? Right here in the Word, we're going to be looking into that some more this morning. A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles fled into Judea and Samaria. All right. So for years I read this and I thought, how could the whole church be scattered out of Jerusalem with the exception of the key leadership, the apostles? And I did some research, dug around, different opinions, different ideas. But over this last year as I've read this, God gave me a little different perspective. I'm just going to mention again what I said a couple weeks ago. The day came when they stopped their running. You remember when Jesus is in the garden, he's being arrested, and they all ran, they all fled. And Peter, who said, I'll die with you in the scripture, if you read the synoptics, you will see that all of them said that. They all said, we're willing to die with you, but they all fled. And Peter, who is kind of the big mouth of the group, or a bigger mouth in the group, is the one that ends up cursing, swearing, denying, along with his running. But something happened at Pentecost that changed everything for these men. After Pentecost, you don't see them running from man anymore. You see them standing up for God regardless of the threats that come against them. I was talking with I'll call him an evangelist missionary from India this week, and he was sharing with me how in India they believe that Thomas was the missionary that went to their nation and brought the gospel to the Kerala area. And I believe the historical record is that Thomas would not back down. He wouldn't be quiet. He continued to preach the gospel and was actually preaching the gospel as they threw spears and punched his body and took his life, which would be his martyrdom for Christ. We look in the Word of God and we can see histories of many who gave their life for Christ, many prophets and others, and of course, we know Jesus himself did. And so this morning, I want to pick up with this. I believe God's given us a season to stop our running away from the battle and looking for a more convenient, comfortable place to roost. And I believe God is saying, it's time to advance. It's not time to rest. It's not time to check our bruises and say, do we have any money left after all those signs we put out? But it's time to seek the Father, discern what He's saying, and give birth to the next step, because God isn't finished reaching lost people yet. And so, don't be discouraged. I'm going to bring you a message on persecution. But I want to bring you a message this morning on that's a little different. It's the prosecutor being persecuted. The prosecutor who is persecuted, and as a result, many lives are transformed. Okay. All right, Matthew chapter 24, drop down to verse 9. Matthew 24, verse 9. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. Well, when is this? Well, verse 8 says, but all of this will only be the beginning of the horrors to come. The church has never given up when we were under attack. But there's a danger after our victories. When we're under attack, we know we must seek the Father. But when we receive our victories, there's a tendency to say, whew, it's time to vacation. It's not. We haven't seen the end of the enemy's attacks. The enemy will regroup. The church was birthed out of persecution. But it did not stop the church. It actually spread the church like fire, brands that went to the nations and the cities and brought the gospel. So then you'll be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because of your allegiance to me. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And on it goes talking about false prophets, okay? Let's go to Mark's gospel. We don't normally go to Mark's gospel in reference to this passage of scripture, but we actually have it in Mark as well, Mark chapter 13. And in Mark chapter 13, let's look at verse 9. Mark 13, verse 9. Now, as you're finding that, let me just remind you what we saw in Matthew. Matthew said, you will be arrested, you will be persecuted, and you will be killed. Some of you will be killed. All right, let's see what Mark says in reference to this passage, Mark 13, verse 9. But when these things begin to happen, watch out. You will be handed over to the courts and beaten in the synagogues. You will be accused before governors and kings of being my followers. You got to get this part or you're going to miss the whole message. This will be your opportunity. This is not to discourage. This is to pry open doors that have been closed by the enemy into places where the enemy has had full control. What they mean for evil, God's going to flip it around for good. And so, you will be accused before governors, kings of being my followers. This will be your opportunity to tell them about me, and the good news must first be preached to every nation. So you'll be handed over, and this will be your opportunity. Now, go with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. We're just going to hit all three of them this morning. All right, Luke chapter 21, let's drop down to verse 12. Luke 21 down to verse 12. Well, maybe I'll start verse 11. There will be great earthquakes, and there will be famines and epidemics in many lands. There will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs in the heavens. But before all this occurs, there will be a time of great what? Persecution. You will be dragged into synagogues and prisons, and you will be accused before kings and governors of being my followers. Here it is again, verse 13. This will be your opportunity to tell them about me. Witnessing through persecution. Now I know we're to be joyful. I know we're to be hilariously joyful when we go through difficult times. And all of you who are already there, you can say amen. Those of you who are still growing in that direction, you can say amen. Amen. So I know that we're to do that, but I'm not sure that we have recognized that God actually allows circumstances and events and family members and neighbors and governments to do things so the gospel can get to them, because you don't have everyday access to go there. And God knows how to open doors so that can happen. So don't worry about how to answer the charges against you, for I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply. Amen? So there is going to be persecution. The church was birthed in persecution. There's been persecution since the birthing of the church. There will be more persecution. You will be accused. You will be betrayed. And in fact, if we drop down a little further in this passage, we will see that even those closest, look at verse 16, even those closest to you, your parents, brothers, relatives, friends, will betray you. Don't be shook up if your family's out of control. Just know that God is the only one that can save them. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. God's stirring your heart. You're burdened to pray for them. If you're burdened, God's dealing with it. If you're burdened and you are aware of ongoing things in their life that is a hindrance to them knowing and serving God, then God is wanting to touch their life. And so even those closest to you, your parents, brothers, sisters, relatives, friends, will betray you, and some of you will get promoted. Well, actually, in Jesus' name, we're all going to get promoted, right? But look at what it says. And some of you will be killed. And now this looks like, it looks like there's a mistake almost. Hang on. Verse 17, and everyone will hate you because of your allegiance to me. You know how close we are to that globally right now? And if you took notice of what was going on during this election process, we were not dealing with simply differences of opinions. We were dealing with demons and devils and spiritual warfare. What we were dealing with in our nation was a visible manifestation of darkness on a whole new grand scale. I don't remember ever seeing it on that scale. And thank God again, I see the hand of God shoving the demons back and saying, not now, not yet, not on their watch. And we're the ones that are still to watch. So, and some of you will be killed, and everyone will hate you because of your allegiance to me. Look at verse 18. But not a hair of your head will perish. Do you know you can die and your hair's not going to perish? God is going to take care of you. Every one of your hairs on your head, God is going to take care of you regardless of what we face in the persecution that is coming, that is coming. And there's some of it here, other parts of the world. This is the month when we're to pray for the persecuted church. November is the month. And we'll seek to bring some more information. There's a lot of information on the persecuted church. In many nations, they don't have the freedom that we have to be here today. But thank God for the freedom we have. But not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will win your souls. Guess what? Your soul is won, everything's won. Because that's all that really matters. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Let's go to Acts chapter 7. Stephen, we consider him the first martyr of the church, but Stephen in verse 55, well, let me go up earlier because I like his message. I love his message. Listen to his message. Stephen is not woke. He is not concerned about the Democratic Party or the liberals. And he's not concerned about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he's not concerned about all the Romans or anyone else. He is only concerned about telling the truth. God raise up messengers that have that anointing on their life. He goes, you stubborn people, you are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? And that is exactly what they were doing. They were resisting the Holy Spirit. But your ancestors did, and so do you. Name one prophet, and he goes through the list of how they were destroyed. And he says, the Messiah whom you betrayed and murdered. Name one. Your prophets, your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, whom you betrayed and murdered. You deliberately disobeyed God's law, though you received it from the hands of angels. And the Jewish leaders were so motivated by his message. No, Stephen was not a motivational speaker to motivate people to go to hell. He was a motivational speaker to prepare people to go to heaven. And that's what we need today. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by his accusation, by Stephen's accusation. And they shook their fist in rage. But Stephen, here he is, full of the Holy Spirit. That's how Jesus went into the wilderness and fought the enemy. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven, upward into heaven. He saw the glory of the Lord. He saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he told them, look, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man is standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Then they put their hands over their ears. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. And drowning out her voice with their shouts, they rushed at him. They dragged him out of the city. They began to stone him. And the official witnesses took off their coats and laid them at the feet of a young man named who? Saul. Here he is, Saul. And as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He fell to his knees, shouting, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And with that, he died. Stephen is witnessing at what time in his life? Say persecution. So Stephen is preaching the word of God. And God's opened the door for him to speak to the religious leaders. And they desperately needed to hear the truth. And he told them. And their response was exactly what Jesus had said. I just want you to see in the Word of God that the church was birthed with the fulfillment of what Jesus said. Jesus said, don't be surprised when these things begin to happen. Don't be concerned when you go through opposition and you face evil. In this world, we will have trouble. And so we see that Stephen is right there. And Stephen is preaching the Word of God. They're angry at him because he's preaching the Word of God. And so it is the religious leaders. And I'll tell you right now, there are a lot of religious leaders in this nation that do not want to hear the truth. And they do not want to hear it proclaimed on television, on radio, in this pulpit or in any other pulpit. They do not want the truth to be spoken. You know why? They're backslidden. Their hearts are turned from God. They are deceivers, and they're leading people directly to hell. And many of the major denominations have swallowed that up. They've accepted that, but they deliberately have resisted the Holy Spirit. This is fulfillment. Jesus said it's going to come in the end. Guess what? It started at the beginning of the end. And so we see this. But then we're introduced to Saul, who is there. Now Saul is standing by. He's with the witnesses, so he is actually a part, as you know, of the Pharisees. So Saul is kind of like their poster child, and he is there lending his support to what's taking place. So we know Stephen did not dilute his message. Stephen spoke full of the Holy Spirit. Stephen entered into the presence of God whole. God received him completely whole. Now we have Saul who shows up at this time. I'm wanting you to see that out of persecution, God is at work. When you're under attack, God is at work. It's not just the enemy attack. I'm in spiritual warfare. I'm fighting the devil and the demons. I'm going through a dark valley. Okay, well, go on through it, but don't forget to recognize that God wants to touch some other people's lives while you're going through it. God wants some other people to look at you. He wants some heathens to take note of your life. He wants some family members that can't stand what you have to say to watch who you are when you go through your valley and when you go through the shadows. And God has done this on local levels, family levels, national levels. God knows how to do this, and He certainly is very good at it. And so now we have the entrance of Saul, and I want to just go to his own words. It's in chapter 26 to let you hear who he was. Acts chapter 26, and we're going to drop down to verse 9. Now I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so if your translation's a little different, then just hang in here with me and listen. Saul at this point is no longer Saul. He's now Paul, but he can remember part of the testimony, right? He said, I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the followers of Jesus of Nazareth. Here's some fruit out of that persecution of Stephen. At that time, what was he thinking? What was he believing? Well, he was believing that he should do everything he could to stop the gospel. Authorized by the leading priest, he's going to tell you exactly where he was. He said, I caused many of the believers in Jerusalem to be sent to prison. First, he says, I was in direct opposition as much as I could possibly be. Secondly, I was involved in seeking the arrest of the Christians and getting them sent into prison. And I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. He says, I was one who voted, kill him. I was voting for their death. Many times I had them whipped. Where? In the prison? In Herod's prisons? No. In the synagogues. Expect persecution from religious people who are not godly. You should have opposition from the devil. You should expect opposition from religious people who are not righteous. You should expect to be at war. Because you're a warrior. This is not unusual. It's who we are. And so many times, Paul's just saying, this is who I was back then. I had them whipped and beaten in the synagogues. And why? Because he's endeavoring to force them to deny and curse Jesus Christ. Now that's who he was on that day when Stephen's life is taken. But I believe on that day, he saw something that he had never seen before. I believe on that day, as Saul was there, there was a seed that was planted inside of him because Stephen preached the gospel. He did not hold back. I believe God planted something in Saul that day so that on another day, when he was prepared and ready, God would be able to touch his life. So he said, I had them whipped in the synagogues, tried to get them to curse Christ. I was so violently opposed to them that I even hounded them in distant cities of foreign lands. He didn't just go around town. He went out of town. He went into other nations seeking to have them arrested. But verse 12 says, one day. Did you have a one day? You remember who you were before? Now some of you, you're probably so righteous you never mocked and made fun of Christians. I did. You probably never egged their house, but I did. You probably never TP'd their house, but I did. And I won't tell you a lot of the other things I did. Thank God it's under the blood of Jesus. But you know what? When I came into the kingdom of God, I was also mocked. I was also made fun of. I had people monkey with the brakes on the motorcycle and play games with me, in person and behind my back. But you know what? If you're really going to serve Christ, you ought to expect some opposition. In fact, my wife and I, though we don't really enjoy opposition, one thing we have said to one another when we're under attack often is, what a great confirmation that we're on the right team. Because if you are serving Jesus and you're on the front line, you're going to get shot at. And if you don't have any opposition in your health or your finances or your family or your neighbors or something, if you don't have opposition going on, then you need to check which team you're on and make sure you're not drifting downstream. Well, Paul now says, one day I was on such a mission, and he's going to go to Damascus. And I want you to take note of the fact, I know that there's this song, I saw the light. And I don't mind singing that song, I saw the light. But let me tell you, seeing the lights do not guarantee that you met Jesus. And so when you read the stories about all these different experiences and heathens that are seeing lights and they're having warm, wonderful feelings and everything is going to be peaceful and everything is going to be great, let me tell you, that's not what happens to the unrighteous when they die. And there's a lot of lies out there and a lot of lies that people have listened to. And so this is not a story about somebody who just saw the light and now they know Jesus. There's a whole lot more to the story. So when you look at this, I want you to recognize what he says. He says it was one day. He remembers that day. He remembers what happened. He remembers where he was. I was on the Damascus Road. He remembers who he was with. He was with armed authorities and commissioning leading priests. He remembers all the details, the what, when, where, all of that. He even remembers the time of day. It was about noon. He knows that too, because this was a earth-shattering, demon, devil-destroying event in the apostle's life. And if you've had that happen to you, you remember that day. Now, I know some have just grown up. I've always trusted God, always believed in God. And I know some received the Lord at a very young age, so you weren't as rebellious and hard-headed as I was. I'll tell you what, the day when I bowed my knees at the altar, I don't know how long I was there. That doesn't matter whether it was 1 or 2 or 3 hours. I don't remember. But I'll tell you what, when I got up, I have never forgotten that night. And many times I've gone back to the Hope Sound Beach, and I went down and walked that beach and remembered the nights that I fasted and prayed and said, God, what do you want me to do with my life? And I'll tell you, there was a night when God opened the heavens and it was like a movie screen for me. I don't know that anybody else saw or heard what God spoke to me, but I know what God called me to do. And let me tell you, God is now beginning to open up some of those opportunities that I saw that night when I was on the beach with him, when he said, Jonathan, this is what I want you to do. You know, the first calling that God gave to me has mostly been a life calling. And he said, I want you to prepare. I want you to prepare. I believe the church should be in a constant mode of preparation. I believe we should constantly, from a victory to a spiritual war to a victory, we should be preparing for more. Whether you're in your teens or 20s or you're 100 or more, wherever you are in life, you're here. God's not finished. Get ready. God's not finished yet. So it was a season of preparation. Paul is remembering this as if it was yesterday. And he says, about noon, Your Majesty, he's talking to this heathen leader, a light from heaven brighter than the sun shone down on me and my companions. There's the light. And he did see the light. But the light actually blinded him. We all fell down. I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now there is a direct communication with God to Saul. God's speaking to him, and he's hearing. And he says, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, I like the King James, or to fight against my will in your life. Who are you, sir? I ask. Who are you, Lord? And the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now stand up. Now Saul's having He's getting ready to have a name change, but Saul's having an encounter with God, just like thousands of Muslims and others around the world are having encounters with God. Some are dreams, some are visions. God is speaking to them. God is calling them. God is awakening them. God is at work and bringing the harvest in at this time. But they must know who Jesus is. We know who Jesus is. This was not an experience with a light. This was an experience with Jesus, who is light and life. I've appeared to you to appoint you. There's a mission, and he's going to share it. He's rehearsed it many times. He's shared it many times. Don't ever stop telling your story. I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now stand up. Stand up. Yeah, this goes back to our topic. The day came, they didn't run anymore. Peter didn't run anymore. The rest of the apostles, they stayed, they ministered, they led. But here's the message coming to Paul or Saul. Stand up, I've appeared to you, and I appoint you as my servant, my witness. You're to tell the world about this experience and about other times I will appear to you, and I will protect you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles to open their eyes. Great encounter. Here's the man who was once commending, voting, condemning, chasing to kill Christians. Now he has a Holy Ghost wake-up moment. And in the earlier chapter, over in chapter 24, verse 14, where he's just talking about his faith, he said he's before kings, he's before leaders, and he said, I admit that I follow the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our ancestors, and I firmly believe the Jewish law and everything written in the books of prophecy. I have hope in God, just as these men do, that he will raise both the righteous and the ungodly. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is Paul. Well, there's hope for those that you are praying for and you're ministering to, who may today be a persecutor.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.